Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. September 30th, 2020. My new article on LinkedIn, The Great First Debate. Tonight, Tuesday, at 9:00 p.m. Eastern Time, the first of three scheduled debates between President Donald Trump and Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden will take place. No doubt, it is going to be a tense event, and things are likely to flare up. The atmosphere in this campaign is so tense and so full of enmity that we shouldn't be surprised if unprecedented, and probably reprehensible, events take place tonight, as well. However, I would like to offer a novel way to examine the two candidates and decide which one gets my vote. I suggest we ask ourselves which of them has any tendency toward uniting the American people. At a time when hatred and division are so rife and so intense, no government can function, whoever is elected. For this reason, in the end, the only thing that will determine the fate of America is the level of connection and solidarity among people. If Americans cannot find a way to bridge the chasms that have been carved among them, the country will collapse into a violent mayhem. The next president's first, if not only task, will be to patch up the fractions of American society and heal the hatred that's been brewing everywhere. If I were an American citizen, I would seek a way to pose that question to the debaters. There is so much at stake today that the answer to this question might very well indicate the fate of America. The Times of Israel published my new article, If Israel Were America. For months, I have been watching with growing trepidation the cavalier nonchalance of Israelis toward COVID-19. Now, I am afraid, it's too late to undo the damage. In the past week, the average death toll was 31 people, and the rate is quickly rising since many hospitals have passed max capacity and medical personnel are worn out. Proportionally, 31 deaths are equivalent to a daily death rate of 1,130 people in the US. And it's rising quickly. And as far as new cases go, no one even comes close to Israel. On September 3rd, the number of new confirmed cases was 2,990 on that day alone. A week later, on the 10th, the daily tally was 4,400. 6 days later, on the 16th, 6,600 tests came back positive, and a week later, on the 23rd, no less than 11,300 people tested positive for the coronavirus on that one day. If Israel were America, this rate would mean 419,000 new confirmed cases in a single day. And all the while, entire sections of the nation are defiantly ignoring the government's lockdown orders. They're saying that they will not comply until other sectors comply. They protest against the government's handling of the COVID-19 crisis, but they refuse to wear masks or keep social distancing. In the first wave of the pandemic, we stood shoulder to shoulder and nearly eliminated the virus. In the second wave, we have become an exemplar of a country paralyzed by internal bickering. In the battle against the virus, it seems as though we have made every possible error. But when we can't even agree to try one course of action, and if it fails try another, we are left with no course of action whatsoever, and the horrific results are now beginning to show. Before long, the proportional death toll in Israel will outpace that of every country by a huge margin. Because the world always examines Israel with a close-up lens, we will become a proof that disunity wreaks destruction. The closure that has been declared now will likely yield poor results, not because it's a bad idea, but because we're not united and we're not obeying it. We're still doing whatever we want despite government orders and police attempts to enforce them. The result will be that people will be dropping on the streets of Israel, literally. The coronavirus could have been an opportunity to serve as a positive role model. When the world is in darkness, fear, and division, we could be an example of unity. We could show how we rise above our differences and deep dislikes, and unite in order to defeat an otherwise undefeatable enemy. But we are failing left and right, thinking only of ourselves and seeing only our own interests. We just celebrated Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, when we are meant to atone for our sins. But Yom Kippur does not atone for sins against our fellow persons, and even during that holiest of days to the Jews, we committed countless sins against our neighbors by not obeying the simple rules that could cut the infection chains. The current level of internal hatred and division in Israeli society has become an existential risk. We are weakening our ranks and our ability to withstand aggression. Moreover, we are on the brink of erupting with internal acts of violence and aggression. More than once we were consumed by civil wars before. In the last one, we lost our sovereignty and it took us nearly 2 millennia to regain it. Now we see that the ills that caused our destruction then are still just as active, and threaten to bring doom on us, once more if we don't get a grip on our raging egos. We cannot, and will not convince one another. We must only remember that being Israel means sticking to our unity despite our differences, above them. Besides the fact that by doing so, we will set an example that others will want to follow, accomplishing this will save our nation from another civil war and another exile. The last generation at the doctor's appointment. Today, the world suffers from the fact that people do not have enough money, respect, and health. A person no longer thinks about elevated goals, but worries about the most vital things and how to suffer less. We need to embrace these sufferings and give them the correct direction toward the Creator to correct this lack of understanding, like a mother takes care of a sick child who does not understand his illness. He just feels that he is sick and cries from pain. The mother should take him to the doctor, give him medicine, and provide all the necessary care. This is how we should treat all of humanity. The Creator is the doctor. He is the source of all the abundance that we need to pass on to people. We need to learn how to do this, how to hear from the doctor how we should treat the child and persuade humanity to take the medicine in order to recover. All of us are tightly connected to this world, are aware of all the news, and understand what is happening to it, and therefore we feel its sufferings. From this, we should understand our work as the last generation. Today, everyone gets the same treatment from the Creator and we must see ourselves between these two forces, the Creator and the created beings. Our task is to implement their correct connection and to help them understand each other so that the Creator understands the created beings, the created beings understand the Creator, and together they develop in the correct direction. We need to understand that the epidemic is not a blow but a push toward our development. All these forces come to develop us, and lead us, to connection and through this connection to a feeling of the common, upper force of nature. We have to contact this upper force of nature and this has nothing to do with any religion. Soon we will see how much humanity needs this connection with the upper force and the upper force itself needs it, and also how much we are ready to connect. Then all of life will improve. This is called the correct connection between all parts of reality. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson September 24, 2020, concerning above reason. Will the pandemic end? Question. Based on today's reality, people are very worried when the pandemic will end. Different authorities speak differently. Some believe that this will happen in 2021, and by 2022 at the latest. Others say that the consequences of the pandemic will never pass, that is, humanity will not remain the same as it was before. What is your opinion about when the pandemic will end? Answer, never. Never, in the sense that we will not return to what was. No way. We will only go ahead and change precisely under the influence of negative influences. From Cab TV's Kabbalah Express September 1, 2020. When the teacher becomes desirable. Remark, Today, respect for teachers is rapidly falling. In high school, students are violent toward teachers. A high rate of threats are reported to come to teachers from students. Many of them even turn to actions. Everyone is looking for an example of a teacher who a person can respect and follow, and they do not find it. My comment: children see the teacher as a scapegoat. What are you teaching us? What kind of world are you giving us? What do you want from us? And so on. That is, there is a lot of anger in them toward this world. They cannot receive fulfillment, saturation, and satisfaction from the world, and therefore, it turns out that they throw it on the teachers as representatives of this world, who are in front of them every day for many hours. And teachers make them do some exercises, solve problems, and pass unnecessary exams. Question: do children understand that they will never use this in life? Answer: of course. Today, the teacher represents the most hated being in the world for the child, which forces and restricts them. This is a legal jailer. Remark: needless to say, this is terrible. I remember my teachers, I did not have such a feeling. It seemed that it would be useful one day. Now everything suddenly spilled out with a great force. My comment: people do not need anything from what happens at school, from what they learn at school. They do not need any of this, and they will use nothing. Question: what does a person need from a teacher? What wisdom? Answer: connection with others. A good, correct connection with each other. Only this should be taught at school. And 2 + 2 = 4 is added for the development of the brain. Thus, there is nothing we can do about it, we will have to redo all this. It is necessary to teach, of course. Yet, to teach what a person needs in life in the first place. And this is only the correct connection between people. Question: can we continue to provide education on the basis of this connection? Answer: give education, give whatever you want. But the main thing is the correct education. Otherwise, education with these exact sciences will lead people to build weapons and everything else, leading to the means to harm each other. Remark: in other words, give him physics, he will make a nuclear bomb. Give him chemistry, he will create chemical weapons. My comment: of course. What do you want from them? You taught them that. You did not resist the fact that nature always increases egoism in them. Taking into account the fact that egoism is constantly developing in them, you gave them knowledge so that they could use this egoism to their own detriment. Involuntarily, the teacher becomes a source of evil. Question: if the message from the teacher is, I am teaching you to connect with people, to connect with nature, will this hatred go away? Answer: the teacher should explain that we are all one system, that we should be connected with each other in good ways, and not in evil ones. No matter what, we are connected. However, our task is to turn an evil connection into a good one. Then we will begin to feel a completely different world in this good connection between us. Question: will children feel this? Answer: we need to do this so that those already in school would feel this. Then the teacher will be desired, the only one. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, August 3, 2020. Blitz of Kabbalah Tips, May 21, 2020. Question: what or who changes the generation? Historical events, natural disasters, technologies, social values, or an internal plan? Answer: an internal program. Question: what should the younger generation get from the older generation? Answer: they should get an attitude regarding the purpose of creation in order to continue it. Everything changes, except for the trend of evolution toward the goal of creation. This doesn't change. Question: is it possible in the modern generation of consumption to elevate the authority and significance of parents in the eyes of the children? Answer: if children will begin to relate correctly to the purpose of life, to the discovery of the next level of existence, to the discovery of the upper world, and the parents will support them in this, Then in this way they will strengthen their authority and significance in the eyes of the children. Question: how can you characterize in a single word or sentence our generation after the coronavirus? Answer: it is as a generation that has been given a special task, and I hope that they will realize it. Question: must the same universal principles that you express in your books and lectures be adapted for each generation and in particular for our generation? Answer: absolutely. I am working on this. Question: who or what should shape the generation? Answer: the generation is shaped by people who understand what is standing before the generation. They discover problems that are facing the generation, the methods of realization, and they try to direct humanity toward a solution. Question: each generation is smarter and more adapted to life. Do you agree with this statement? Answer: no. Every generation has the potential to solve the problems that nature presents to them. But simultaneously, it requires a very strong directing hand. Question: to what generation do you consider that you belong? Answer: I consider myself to be between the old and new generation, a generation that has not yet taken shape, which I am helping to see the way. Question: the generation determines the collective experience. What kind of collective experience can you recall from your life? Answer: the collective experience in my life didn't give me anything except a big negative sign. Whereas all that is positive, I received only from my teacher. From CAB TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, May 21, 2020. Jews of America, Part 4. American Reformism. Question: as you know, German Jews were reformists. The arrival in America of hundreds of thousands of fellow believers from Eastern Europe, Russia, Belarus, Ukraine, and Poland, did not make them happy because these Jews were Orthodox. On this basis, conflicts arose. Bohemian Isaac Meyerowitz is credited with founding American Reform Judaism. What is the basis of Reformism? What is the reason for this phenomenon in Judaism? Answer: Reformism believes that religion should be left as a kind of background where it unites the people. And where it does not unite, it has to be removed. It is necessary to remove the Orthodox religion from society because it divides it into clans, classes, etc. Even in Russia, there were different rabbis in the villages who differed in their interpretations of Judaism and in everything else. And even more so, Eastern and Western Jews, Litvak and Belarusian Hasidim. Naturally, all this prevented unification. On the other hand, American Jews wanted a purely mercantile use of their origin for their own good, and therefore sought to partially soften the tradition. We see that over the years, American Jewish society has more or less retained an indifferent form. Of course, the difference between Jews is very large, but it is regarded according to the wallet, like the rest of American society. For example, in synagogues there are certain places for those who make large donations, for those who cannot pay that much, for special individuals, and for ordinary people, which cannot be in a meeting house. The Americans, with their inherent division of a person by pocket or rank, do it rather unceremoniously, which leaves an imprint on modern American Judaism. But on the other hand, this led to the fact that today this Judaism, in principle, does not exist. It became the so-called 3 days a year Judaism, when people come to the synagogue only on holidays, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Passover, etc. The rest comes down to you mailing a check to your rabbi or community. From CAB TV's systematic analysis of the development of the people of Israel, November 18, 2019. Guide for Roundtables, Part 11. Before participating in circles. Remark: one of the rules of the circle is to avoid templates and clichés and to try to speak honestly. The circle only works when the participants are as open as possible with each other. My comment: before participating in circles, people should have a correct idea of the round table methodology, because only by following all the rules can they come to the right decision, which is so important for everyone. And even after serious preparation, every time they start some discussion to find solutions to problems and conflicts, they still have to hold a workshop first. Question: is there any difference in what the discussion should be based on? For example, reading a passage or watching a movie. Answer: it depends on what you want to come to. Let's say you want to lead them to a common solution. What are the issues? At what level? This must be determined in advance. From CabTV's Management Skills, July 9, 2020. Solutions and Artificial Intelligence. Question: in which cases can artificial intelligence make decisions, and in which case can only humans make them? Answer: artificial intelligence is a machine. If it can solve problems like a calculator, then it will. If it cannot, it will not. We get confused by entrusting new computers with tasks that only humans can do. This cannot happen. A calculator remains just a calculator, nothing more. In our brains, in general, the same thing is happening. But we have a tremendous advantage in comparison with all other artificial or biological creatures: a person connects to the common brain. There is a huge general intelligence above us, in which absolutely everything exists. We connect to it, we get ideas from it, and information from us arrives to it. A machine cannot connect to it. Question: but if a man does not connect to the common brain, then can a machine make better decisions? Answer: it is quite possible, depending on what level. Inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human nature are all connected to this brain at different levels. It controls everything. Question: is there not a danger that in the future we will be controlled by machines, as it is often depicted in some movies? Answer: if you want it, then yes. After all, it is a machine that acts in a purely deterministic manner, and if you program it intelligently, then it will educate you intelligently and control you. Question: but will it not rule over man and enslave people? Answer: by means of its own desire? No, it cannot happen. Question: don't you believe that machines can enslave us? Answer: it is not that I do not believe, I know that it cannot happen. After all, machines are not gods, but humans' creation. According to the cause and effect system, it is impossible for us to create something that would be higher than us. From CabTV's Management Skills, June 11, 2020. Is it possible to advance without suffering? Question: what is the path of sufferings? Answer: we must not advance toward the goal of creation by suffering, but when you divert from the spiritual path, you sink into sufferings. They put you back on track and you make a step forward. Then you go deeper into your egoism, you divert, and once again feel sufferings, which put you back on track, and then you take a right step forward once again. Question: so, is it impossible to advance without suffering? Answer: the point is that we constantly make mistakes along the way, because without making mistakes, we will not be able to understand how to operate correctly. Therefore, we have the opportunity to move toward the goal, so that it will not be the sufferings, but the realization of our mistakes that will help us advance. This means that working on our mistakes and moving forward will be the same. In this case, we will go without falling and rising, taking a step forward, again falling and rising, taking a step forward, but in two lines, left and right. Experiencing certain sufferings, troubles, and mistakes in the left line, we simultaneously work with them in the right line. And thus we do not go alternately left and right, but move with both feet toward the same goal. Basically, we understand that we cannot advance without making mistakes, since that is the way we are built. But if we advance egoistically, we already assume how we will discover our mistakes, how we will reveal evil, and we aim ourselves at moving over to the right line. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, November 18, 2018.